Tonight, we discuss Iron Fist Season 2, Episodes 7, 8, and 9. I don't think I did that right with my fingers for those watching on YouTube, but it's 7, 8, and 9, so we're going to stop right when it gets amazing, but we're still going to have a great conversation. The Iron Fist After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Iron Fist After Show. I am Christian Blatt. Zia, why did I pick this song?
Because of Colleen Wing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was glad that you realized that before we started. Zia Landerson. Zia Land. Joining us, finally for the first time, Danny Royce.
Hi.
This is our third Iron Fist After Show and our third different composition of the panel. Our last show will be Sunday at 9 Pacific, and that'll be the only show where we have all four of the actual panelists.
We unite?
Yeah. We will form Voltron at the end of that episode. But we will start off talking in this episode, and for those watching live in the chat, join us with your comments, thoughts, questions, hopes, concerns, dreams, anything and everything. Zia's going to keep an eye on all that because I just told you now.
That's okay.
Forgot to talk about it beforehand. In any case, so when we did our last show, Emmanuel Wright, who we were meeting for the first time, I asked him to give us kind of an overview on the show and what he thinks of it. And Zia, I think it's safe to say, Emmanuel, not a big Danny Rand fan.
No. He's all for...
He's Team Davos, like through and through. And I was like, what about when he starts killing people? And he's like, meh. But so...
No big deal.
Yeah. But so I wanted to ask you, Danny. First of all, he has the same name as you.
Yes.
So you should at least be partial for that. But what's your overall thoughts on Iron Fist Season 1 versus Season 2? And Danny, you know, the way we've seen the character grow.
I'm definitely Team Danny.
Yeah, definitely. Now we're talking.
There we go. So Season 1 for me, it was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's got a lot of backlash. Finn Jones, you know, my boy, I was rooting for him. But, you know, it was just okay. It was something that never really, I didn't see a lot happening, I should say. But thank God that Season 2 is shorter. So the 10 episodes really went well, but they did a lot in those 10 episodes, if you would agree. And just seeing the character development was insane. Like, just seeing Danny grow and realize a lot of things. Also, my girl Colleen just getting it day after day. And
especially as we talk about her throughout the course of this episode.
Yes, exactly. I'm excited to get into that. And then Davos is just like, man, it made me hate him. But I think overall, Season 2 definitely stepped up the game.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about this. And the fact that it's 10 episodes, I think, went a long way. I think some of these Marvel Netflix series have worked at 13 episodes.
Right.
But also, I would say Luke Cage Season 2 is the most recent one. That would have been great if it was 10 episodes. It was still good.
Yes.
But I think that a lot of times these shows will spin their wheels a little too much. So I think this worked perfectly. Who knows? Daredevil Season 3 might be 13 episodes, considering what story they're going to tell. I think it probably deserves it. But we'll see what they end up doing in the future. But let's talk about these episodes, 7, 8, and 9, starting with Episode 7, which is called Morning of the Mindstorm. And for those who've been watching the after show know, I always like to give the little Easter egg tidbit. The title, Morning of the Mindstorm, was the title of an Iron Fist adventure from Marvel Premiere number 25, which I believe, if I do quick math, is the 10th appearance of Danny Rand, the Iron Fist. And as I always like to give shout out to, Den of Geek is the website where I get all of these tidbits from, because I don't want you to think that I'm smarter than I am, and I want to always give credit where credit is due. So, where we left off, Davos, at the end of Episode 6, had broken Danny's leg, and he's in the hospital. He gets fitted with a special Rand leg brace to speed his healing. I got a very Bruce Wayne vibe from Dark Knight Rises, but that's all right. I think it's, you know, Danny Rand, Bruce Wayne, Oliver Queen, Tony Stark.
Right.
These guys have a lot in common. You know,
right.
They're guys who like to play superhero, but have billions of dollars at their disposal as well. but as we see him use it, you know, obviously he needs to get acclimated to it. It's nice to see that there's that kind of technology there. And we'll kind of dive into that when he starts training with Colleen. So basically, you know, Misty is on the case looking into the triad situation. Let's talk a little bit about sort of what happens to Danny. And I know that happened at the end of episode 6, but the fact that Davos punched his leg and broke his leg, and Danny's lucky that it didn't, like, you know, shatter every bone in his leg. And the fact that, you know, he's able to have the technology that can help him heal. Right. Danny, your thoughts about that first.
Well, I mean, we see a different side, Danny being very vulnerable. He's in this vulnerable state, which in turn helps him see a lot of things differently. The Iron Fist and everything. And also, really helps him and Colleen's relationship. I know it damages in the first part of the episode, but really and truly, it really is the thing that strengthens them, because he learns from a different viewpoint of things, and maybe he doesn't deserve certain things. Well, we'll get into that. But I think this injury was like one of the things that just kind of awakened him.
Yeah, I think I think he definitely learns a lot from it.
Right.
And it's sort of a very important defining moment. And sort of early in this episode as well, Joy meets up with Mary and explains this whole idea that Walker's actually trying to protect her. Mm-hmm. And Mary decides to stop taking her pills, lets Walker take over. And we see her record a video for Walker, which is very important in a little right. bit. So I wanted to know, as the way that the Mary character, Typhoid Mary, as we know her in the comics, the way that she developed sort of up until this point, you know, we sort of see Mary, actual Mary, not Walker, doing sort of a take charge moment here. What did you think about where we see Walker up until this point, Zia?
Well, I really liked that Mary finally gave over some of the control, because I like that they have both personalities really vying to try to stay. I mean, why wouldn't you? Because mm-hmm. when you're not there, you're essentially dead. Vying to kind of stay in the driver's seat, so to speak. And I liked that Mary kind of gave it over to Walker because she realized that she needs her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a very cool element that they threw in there. And also, it gives you a chance to see more Walker, which is I like to see more Walker. She's...
Right. I would like to see more of Mary just being scared and drawing pictures. I don't know what you get out of Walker. But yeah, obviously she has this understanding that Walker in the past has protected her,
right.
which we will also get to very shortly, which was kind of a great reveal.
Yes.
Davos decides, and I mistakenly, and this is the problem when you watch ahead, and somebody in the comments was like, you know, if you're going to watch the whole show, just talk about the whole show. But we needed the 4 hours to do it anyway. So I sort of jumped ahead to this idea that that Davos starts training Rhino's gang. And mm-hmm. if you were going to start a gang, I'll ask you, Danny, because you weren't here the last time I made this point. is there a group of people that you would less want than Rhino's gang? You know, I mean, they seem like the worst choice to build an army. I mean, maybe because they're fairly malleable and you can get right. them to do what you want.
Yeah.
That's about it, though.
I mean, yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, they're naive. They can be told anything and believe anything. So that was pretty much it. I mean, he really pretty much got them just for being, you know, exposable.
Yeah. What?
Disposable. And it's just kind of like I would have gone with better choices.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. You know, hang out. I mean, you know, look, Colleen's dojo is closed, but outside a different dojo or, right. I don't know, a gym. And what I said in our last episode. Well, I said our last episode, just a group of guys playing basketball. They're going to be better warriors than these guys. Because you're like, well, at least they're fast and they're physical. But I think that what Davos is really concerned about is having an army of what we would refer to in Star Trek, an army of red shirts. People right. who are very disposable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who maybe can slow down your enemy exactly. for like a couple seconds.
Right.
But he's also like, well, you know, I'm the two-fisted steel serpent Iron Fist. And then, I don't really need an army to help me.
That plays into his big head, yeah.
Zia, do you think that's a big part of it? Is he's just like, I don't really need an army, but, you know, just in case.
I think it's more of an ego thing. Mm-hmm. I think that it, like you said, it kind of plays into his big head, and he needs to feel like he's doing something good and important.
Right.
Even though he maybe on a very deep, deep, deep level knows that he's not.
Yeah.
So he figures if he does this, he's giving them a place to train and a place to sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, technically raising these kids who are on the street and don't have anything and giving them something and giving them something to live for and fight for. And that's the way that he was taught and he was raised. So yeah. He might think he's doing a good thing.
I think on some level, I think on some level he thinks it's like this
and giving him benefit of the doubt. I like that.
He's just like, you'll be better for it. You know, he's like, you'll be men. You know, you're not going to be boys anymore.
Right.
So also in this episode, we see Ward get drunk, which is actually something that we saw a lot of in season one. He's confronted by Bethany. He does indeed. I was going to say he gets his ass kicked, but he doesn't even really put up a fight at all.
I was just dying laughing, honestly.
He's just like, oh, yeah. And then the guy's like, yeah. And he just knocks him over.
Right.
And during this sequence, he also follows Bethany to an NA meeting, learns that he is pregnant. Learns that she's pregnant and that he's a father. That's what I meant to say. I abbreviated my two statements. He is not pregnant. This is not the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Junior. But maybe it could be if we should be so lucky. So he finds out that she's pregnant with his baby. Oh, no, you didn't.
Right.
So she didn't tell him. So, Danny, your thoughts sort of on Ward. Again, we're comparing him and contrasting him between last season and this season, but just the growth we've seen throughout this season in particular. Give us your thoughts on what we've seen out of Ward.
Man, I've grown to really like Ward in this season. He's funny. He's got this sort of badass that kind of grew on him that I'm really enjoying. And he just really brought his A game to like what he wanted, and it really showed in this season. So he won me over.
Yeah,
Definitely, and
we've talked about this in past episodes, the fact that, you know, in season one, he's very unlikable because he tries to have Danny killed two times.
Yep.
And, I think just seeing the personal growth is great. Joy, on the other hand, I think she went the other direction, a little bit sympathetic in the first season. And then just this year, you're like, I guess, there's a certain point, I guess, when she's like all beaten up after she falls.
It kind of turns to sinister time a little bit.
But you still feel a little bad for that point. So, what do you think about the Ward fight scene in the bars?
It made him more likable for me. Because you see that he's a flawed character.
Exactly.
But he was still, as weird as this sounds, good-natured in his, angry, drunken fighting.
Yeah.
And it's still, you just...
And who amongst us doesn't wish that we could just do that level of day drinking? You know, he's got a lot of money, so he can do it whenever he wants to. Most of us, we can't really.
Right.
No. Yeah, we
and
can't really.
And he couldn't fill a thing. Fired. You can tell he couldn't fill a thing. It was perfect.
I feel like the poor bartender has had to do that God knows how many times. Because he definitely looked like he's been in a few fights.
Right.
So also in this episode, Misty visits Mika, who I was going to call Joy's friend, but it's an associate of Joy's who she framed into...
friend.
Yeah. not even frenemy, just more like somebody she knows who she used to get the bull. Mm-hmm. So Misty visits with her, and she gets pictures of the scroll that's written in ancient Tibetan. And of course, if anybody can read it, it's Danny Rand.
Danny
He's
Rand.
Like, oh, hey, this is how you do the Iron Fist transfer. You know, that thing that I had... And I haven't in a while. And, I got a broken leg. Yeah, I could totally get it back, though. So they make a big plan for that. Once Danny is healed, so they begin that plan. And Joy tries to get the bull from Davos, coming on really strong at first. Like, yeah, but how about that bull? Like, is it around? So, I might just get rid of it. I mean, I know you don't like it. But she's just, she's smart enough that she knows, all right, I got to ease off, right? So what do you think, Zia, when Joy shows up trying to be like, I don't smell the bowl, do you?
First of all, when she did that, I was like, Joy, what are you doing? Because he gives her a look.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you so concerned about the bowl? Why are you asking me this?
Yeah.
But she did actually, I was impressed with the way she played it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad on Joy's part. And as much as I disliked her for being a whiny baby this season. She sort of redeemed herself at the end. She at least tried.
Yeah.
But you know what, Joy? None of that would have happened if you hadn't helped Davos.
In the first
place. In the first place.
Yeah, Danny, this is clearly her, in some way, trying to make amends. She's like, realized... You know, this is what I thought I wanted, and look what it did to Danny. Let me see if I can make things... You can't make it right, but try to make it a little bit better, right?
Mm-hmm. She tried.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. She got better.
Yeah, right. Let's just say that. And we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, her intentions are much more pure than they usually are. Let's put it that way. Exactly.
Ghost 8386 says, Ward needs to learn drunken kung fu.
Yes, sir.
He needs to study some drunken master.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good point.
I like that.
Thanks for being in the chat, Ghost. Yes. Ghost is often in the chat on our show, Marvel TV Weekly, so it's great to see you there. So the episode ends with... what we teased earlier, which is Colleen actually training Danny. And, you know, Danny, he's basically got to learn everything all over again because he's got the sort of surgically repaired RAN technology heightened leg. But it's like when Misty first had the bionic arm, you really have to start all over. And there's nobody better to do that than Colleen, who's just like, you know, this is what we are now, and I'm going to keep knocking you down. And I thought it was a great sequence because it reminds you, like, hey, this is how good Colleen is. And sure, we had that awesome fight in episode 6, but she's still trying to leave all that behind. Mm-hmm. But she's finally cutting loose. So, Danny, give us your thoughts about watching Colleen finally just giving in and training Danny to help him get back on his feet. No pun intended.
Danny Rand or me? No,
both Danny. I would like Danny Rand to also speak.
Colleen, it was so interesting seeing that dynamic, like just her releasing and trying to cut off those feelings, you know, and it's hard because you can't do both. You can't come from a place of emotion and train him the way he needs to be trained. So it was just interesting the way she did it. I think, like I told you before, that in a roundabout way, this in a lot of ways strengthened their relationship. I think, you know, doing this proved to them that they can do it.
Yeah. And it's a lot better than going out to dinner and a movie. You know?
Right.
She said she wasn't really into the whole date night thing. This is a lot more, you know, intimate. I don't mean in the sexual sense. It's a very intimate moment, you know, where you're just like... It's really getting to understand each other's fighting styles.
Definitely.
So that brings us right into episode 8, Citadel on the Edge of Vengeance. And Danny, he continues to train with Colleen, and he's really working on overcoming just the anger at Davos. I don't know that the anger is his problem. I think the sort of sentimentality but he's my brother. Like, that's the part. It's like, remember, the guy punched your leg and broke it. And he's also killing people. So Danny... And not you. Danny Rand and Colleen have to rescue Mrs. Yang, hide her at the Bear Community Center, and then the Golden Tigers, and she start making a plan to kill Davos. So Mrs. Yang is a really interesting character because she does have that one great moment when she stabs the guy in the eye.
Favorite.
But yeah, that was a favorite of Zia's.
Yes.
Sort of talk a little bit about Mrs. Yang, Zia, this sort of idea that she's basically running the Golden Tigers at this point, you know, and the fact that she has Danny and Colleen to thank for her still being alive and, you know, starting to at least value their presence in some capacity.
Well, that's what I love about Mrs. Yang. I love her. I think that she is a very strong leader in the sense that she can compromise and she can listen to other people. Because that's not something that a lot of leaders I've noticed, especially in shows like this, do.
Right.
but I like that she takes their word for things, she takes their advice, and she actually listens to them in some ways. So instead of completely making things worse, she makes things better. Mm. And she actually did unite the Golden Dragons, which is no easy feat. And it definitely sort of paves the way to just worry about Davos and not all of these other things. And I just like the strength of her character as well.
Yeah, and she steps up because obviously, you know, Davos takes her husband out and it's like, you know, and wisely tries to hide it at first. And then she's like, you know what, I got to take over. So the next sequence we get to in this episode is something we referenced before. Walker shows up as Walker And she sees that Mary has a video for her. And what I love about this, the little Marvel Universe Easter egg, that her time in the military, she was in Sokovia. Mm-hmm. And it was like, could have been anywhere in the world. And I was just like, it's just, you know, these are the things that we appreciate, that the consistency of the universe that they're in.
Right.
But Walker does notice the inconsistency in Mary's story and realizes, like, wait a minute. So she didn't do something that, you know, left all those people dead and saved her life. Well, I know I didn't. So, right. So who did it? And it's kind of a cool revelation, especially. And Danny, I meant to ask you your background. Had you read many comic books? Were you familiar with these characters at all? Or are you just seeing it all for the first time on this show?
So basically, for Luke Cage, a lot of the comics I've all in there, but Iron Fist is the first time.
Okay. Yeah, and she's a character from Daredevil. Right, so, exactly. So you didn't really know anything about her when we met her, right?
Not as much.
So that moment where it's like, oh, actually, there's three of these alter personalities.
Right.
By the way, or more, but at least three.
Right.
What did you think about that revelation when you know, it hits her?
I was just like, there's more? Like, I knew about Mary and I knew about Walker, and then it's just like, okay. I thought it was a great revelation. Like, I was ready to see, like, what else could she possibly do, or who else is in there, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very intriguing.
And whenever we find out, you might not want to know who it is in there. Zia, what did you think about the idea that there's three Marys, at least three Marys in there?
It makes it way more exciting because we get to see Bloody Mary?
Bloody Mary, yes. Bloody that's the third.
Oh, that is
homicidal
the third
maniac.
One. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And her character is Typhoid Mary, which we've talked about. But the Bloody Mary personality.
I like that we're going to get all three. I love that we're going to get a nice sweet Mary. We're going to get a very businesslike Mary that will, and I very firmly believe that she will do the right thing when it comes down to it. More often, she's just doing a job. And then we're going to see just brutal Mary. It's going to be great. Christian Jackson has a question in the chat, too. Do they ever say when in Sokovia that happened? Do they? I can't remember.
I don't know if they reference how many years ago it was. You get the feeling, though, it wasn't necessarily a long time ago.
It was like something in the recent past.
Right. Yeah, it seems somewhat recent. I mean, obviously, when you have actors play themselves in a flashback, you don't do much to make them look much younger. But at the same time, if it was going to be, say, like 10 or more years earlier, they probably would have done something to, I don't know, give the impression of something along those lines. The interesting thing here is that we basically get Mary's origin story, which, as I referenced in comic books, is very different because in the comics, she was a former prostitute who was accidentally hurt during an incident with Daredevil. So this is completely different.
Doesn't he throw her out of a window?
He sure does. Yeah.
Wow.
Look.
It's an accident.
Daredevil throws a lot of people out of windows.
It happens. No.
Yeah. In any case, so that's just a little flesh out there. Because I didn't mention earlier, the title of this episode from Marvel Premiere number 17, so one of the earliest stories of Danny Rand. In any case, we take it back to the storyline. Joy's still working Davos, you know, and trying to find this bull, and she does make a good point, and it is something that she understands legitimately, that, look, if you're going to be this, like, the Iron Fist and the protector of New York because you know what's better for them, you have to sell yourself to the public, be a little bit more likable. So he definitely buys into that for, like, 5 minutes, but we'll get to that. And I think she has a good point because you're not going about it being a protector. You know, sure, you always have people that feel like somebody like Daredevil can't be trusted. You know, Spider-Man's a menace to society. You know, you always get all these things. But look, she has a really good point, doesn't she, Zia? That, look, Davos, this Davos thing's not working.
No. And all he's going to do is create, I think it was said by somebody in one of the, in that episode, I believe, that he's just creating another gang.
Mm-hmm.
He's just now becoming the lead gang.
Right.
And then he's being the judge, jury, and executioner all in one person. So what he deems as crime might not necessarily be crime.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
murdering people over it.
It's exactly territory that's explored with Frank Castle, the Punisher, in comics. There's a certain point where he starts taking shots at, like, litter bugs because they're breaking the law.
Right.
You know, so obviously there is a psychic break that's very different for Frank Castle than it is for Davos. But it's a similar idea. It's like, dude, you got PR is a big part of being any kind of superpowered person. Yes. You know?
Right, for figure. Sure.
I think even Magneto I think even Magneto has a publicist. I'm fairly sure.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So, yes. So then she teams up with BB. And BB's going to help her get the ball. Poor BB.
BB.
So she also wants Ward to buy this spot where Davos is hiding. And then Ward puts it all together and is like, Walker needs to protect Joy from Davos. And he's going to get her these files about her time in Sokovia as payment because Walker realizes that Ward has this kind of access. So... I think that that's a key part of the plan right there. You know, Walker, keep Joy safe. And as we talked about before, Joy's just like, whatever, job's a job. I'm finished with a job. Now I'm going to do another job. And I'm still pretty much going to kill this guy.
Yeah.
That's right. My own job. I've hired myself to do that.
Good for her.
Yeah. What do you think about, I mean, as you're watching this unfold, you just have to know, like, oh, this isn't gonna go the way that anybody wants it to, right, Danny? Just like, I'm gonna get this bowl and sneak out of here. Yeah,
I was like, this is not gonna end well. I mean, Colleen opens up with this saying this about Davos in episode 8. In this episode, she says, he's all eagle, never confidence."
Right,
and I think that definitely just shows what fuels him. And this whole plan of Joy's, I just was like wondering how long, like how far it's gonna go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when I see BB run out with it, I'm just like, okay, he's gonna get it somewhere somehow. Yeah. And I'm just like, he can't go too far. Unfortunately, I didn't see any hopes for him. Sorry.
Yeah, you're just like he's definitely the pawn on this chessboard, and you're like, he's gonna. You know, again, we referenced the red shirts earlier. It's like, oh no, look, you're very valuable for a few minutes, and you know that means that you're going to be expendable ultimately.
Exactly.
The sad thing is, though, that he's the reason. If he hadn't gone out there, he would have been fine.
Right.
Yeah.
He would have been fine. It was his own doing, and that's just so much worse. That one insane kid.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We'll get there.
His right hand man.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We will indeed get there. So Davos goes and kills Henry Yip. That's part of his PR outreach, is to punch him straight through the stomach. You know, they say that all publicity is good publicity. That would be pretty bad publicity, though. I don't think there's any coming around from that. You know, I don't know there's anything to do. So Rhino sees that, and he's like, oh no, I am not Team Davos anymore. And this, if Emmanuel was here, this is when I would ask him, are you still Team Davos at this point? You're not even leaning a little bit towards Danny at this point. And I think he's probably gonna be like, nah, he's
still like Davos. Yeah, we gotta ask him.
What in the world?
Christian Jackson has a good point. He says he feels like Davos is better trained physically to be the Iron Fist, but Danny is maybe better off mentally. Mm-hmm. He at least knows that he's not stable enough to hold the fist.
Right, which is a point we'll get to in a moment. And poor Rhino. That doesn't go well for him.
I felt bad for him, even though he was an annoying character.
He was.
He was incredibly really annoying.
He was very annoying.
But he does have that redeeming moment right at the end where he's like, oh, this is
a little
not
too late.
Yeah. Too far.
Definitely too
late for that.
It's the same thing. It's like, oh, you shouldn't have been in that situation anyway. It's like BB. It's like, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I yelled when that happened, though. I was not expecting that.
Oh, like you were like, no!
I was like, no, I yelled whoa more than I was just like, whoa! We went there, okay!
There are a couple of whoas.
Yeah, there are.
So the episode winds down with a little bit more Danny and Colleen training and actually getting into the steel cage. And this actually surprised me. Danny telling Colleen that he realized he'd become addicted to the Iron Fist. That part we knew. And that was a great moment, as we talked about in our last show, it was a great moment between Ward and Danny, just sort of like, oh, now I understand addiction. Not from that meeting, but from you talking about this thing.
Right.
So he'd been addicted to the Iron Fist power, and he thinks that she, Colleen Wing, should actually be the one to wield the Iron Fist. When Danny says that, what do you think? Danny, that's confusing. When Danny Rand says that, what did you think?
I was like, whoa, that was another whoa part.
That's a big whoa.
And then I started to think, I'm like, she totally would be amazing in holding the Iron Fist. Like, honestly, like, Danny knows that he can't really have it. He's out of control with it. Not as much as Davos, but and then Davos can't have it. So there can only be one other person it goes to. So I saw exactly like where that was headed.
Yeah, I think it logically it made sense. Logically. But I was just surprised. Was that a whoa moment for you, Zia?
Yeah. To me, it was more of a like, no. Not that I hate Colleen, and not that I think that if, and we'll get to, we can't talk about that yet, but if that's the case, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Backtracking. I just, not that I don't like Colleen. I love Colleen. She's one of my favorite characters, but I like her character the way she is.
She doesn't need it.
No. You know,
she's already got a great skill set. She's already very interesting.
Yes, and I like her teamed up with Danny, with him as the Iron Fist, and her kind of as his voice of reason, and also his support. I think that she does that really well.
Right.
And they can really fight side by side. And I kind of like that. And also, can he be the Iron Fist for a little while, please?
There are a lot of... So let's see. There are 23 episodes of Iron Fist between the two series, the majority of which he is not the Iron Fist.
Right. Now,
he is the Iron Fist in season one, but he's like heavily medicated, and he's like, oh, my chi, my chi. Nobody has worse chi than this guy.
Right.
So, you know, so yeah, it's like, that's kind of what you want. And really, it's like the Defenders is the only time where he gets to be the Iron Fist consistently.
That's what I want. Wanted to see.
Yeah, I was hoping we would have gotten a season of that, but this is still very interesting, you know. And this decision definitely surprises me, but logically, I don't know, it made sense. Let us know in the chat if you're watching, if you are maybe you're angry about this. One of the things that people don't like, well, then we'll talk about it in a little bit, but just the idea that he doesn't want it is like, this is who you are. And I think that that's what he's trying to figure out. As we've talked about on this show in the past, you got to remember, in a lot of ways, he's still like this 15-year-old kid who, you know, crashed in the mountains. And I think he's just like, I'm not ready for it. And I think he even realizes that one day he will be ready for it, but he's like, this is not that day. So we will dive into episode 9, War Without End, right after this. A very important message from Zia Anderson.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From reality dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
And if you subscribe to this channel, you will become a subscriber to the show that Zia and I are both on Sundays, Marvel TV Weekly.
Yeah.
Marvel TV. Nice.
Yeah, work the promotion in there. All right, so now we move into episode 9, War Without End, a title taken from Power Man and Iron Fist number 83, which is how I first got to know Luke Cage and Danny Rand teamed up as Power Man and Iron Fist. And that's really just what I want more than anything else. I want Power Man and Iron Fist. I want Heroes for Hire. I want all these things. But instead, we're going to talk about episode 9. So Davos is really starting to question Joy's loyalty, you know, like, this is the 9th episode, so 9 episodes later than he should have. Yeah, I think really in the first, like, when he's like, you're not starting to waver, are you? He probably should have tossed her out a window at that point. You know, he should have done what Daredevil did to Hooker, Toyfoot, Mary, and just tossed her out the window. But who's loving that is Chen Wu, who we haven't talked nearly enough about. And, you know, he just sort of fell into this right-hand man because he was just trying to not get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes, like, I kind of like this whole, like, you know, being his guy. Talk a little bit about Davos's realization, and also Chen Wu, Danny.
Chen Wu is an interesting character. We saw him starting to doubt Davos's leadership back in episode 6. And you can just tell, like, the fear in his face. Like, he was just like, hey, am I doing this the right thing? But he was just protecting his butt, you know? And so we saw him grow into this character where he's starting to believe everything that Davos is saying. And it's kind of, it's weird because he's out there in the forefront with him. He knows that he's doing all these terrible things, and it's not really the way that anyone, the route anyone should take. But I just thought it was interesting to see that change with him. And now, like, even with Joy that we saw, he wouldn't even help a dog, you know, give a dog a bone. Like, really?
Yeah.
So Davos is, like, really just taking control over Chen. He's interesting.
Right. So Davos basically ends up figuring out, oh, Joy, I should have done this a while ago. And he doesn't throw her through a window, but he does push her push her off of a balcony. There's a moment where I think we think she's dead. But I was just like, I don't think she's going to get pushed in that way. And, you know, I think that they did that very, that was very calculated. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I bet we haven't seen the last of her. No. So that was a long time coming. And on some level, she did get what she deserved for, you know, dancing with the devil, as they say. But
I actually thought she was going to get punched in the stomach. I was waiting for it. But
yeah,
yeah, that's his thing. Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, oh, God.
You're like, well, that's better. She could maybe survive that. Yeah.
So Colleen is still really trying to process this whole idea that Dany thinks that she should take the Iron Fist, and there's obviously so many complications that come from that. But Misty actually says, hey, I found the owner of this box, which is something that they focused on a little bit in the early episodes of the season. But and the owner of the box told a story about a pirate queen, a story only Colleen's mother knew. And that takes a lot out of her. And this story is very significant, which we'll talk about in a minute or two. But just sort of chronologically going through the episode, Dany and Colleen get some police support. And they fight off Davos and his students, and they capture him, but not before poor BB.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is when he gets stabbed.
Yeah. Is that still a tough one for you to process?
Yes, because he shouldn't have gone out there. I knew as soon as he walks out, because he's like, that's my crew.
Right.
I'm like, your crew's insane.
Right.
Well, that one kid.
Yeah, and your crew's already one guy shorter, so you should really think about it. Yeah, one guy in your crew killed another guy in your crew, so it's probably not what you want.
I'm just like, why? I was just like the whole time, like, why are you out there? Are you stupid?
I know.
But what this does is it really affects Colleen because of the fact that, you know, BB was, you know, such a valuable source of information. And she also really helped Danny's cause by getting the bowl. So she does decide that she's like, well, you know what? I am going to be the Iron Fist. What do you think about that? So Misty goes to Davos. Excuse me. Ooh. Trying to get through these last few minutes here. Misty goes to Davos' lair, runs into Chen Wu. And there's a decent fight there, but as all good fights, Walker just takes him out. And it's like, you know what? This is all well. It's like Indiana Jones when the guy does all this fancy stuff with the whip and he just takes out the gun. It's like, I don't have time for this. Anyway, Ward hired her, and then she finds Joy, who is very injured. Walker knocks out Misty, though, because she's like, this is not going to be useful to have you, you know, asking me too many questions. And she gets ready to take out Davos. The Crane sisters are ready for Colleen, and they ink a crane-like tattoo on her arm, which is really cool because I was wondering, well, where would she get it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, back tat? That's so out of style now. That's so late 90s. Like, Colleen's not going to do a back tat. Yeah, I'm thinking.
Tramp stamp.
Yeah, exactly. No Iron Fist tramp stamp. You know? So we get that, and then we actually get this ritual, transform the Iron Fist, but uh-oh. Davos wakes up halfway through it. But there is this moment, and I'll ask you, Zia, what do you think when you see Colleen wield the white Iron Fist?
More than anything, I didn't have any crazy emotion about it. I was just like, oh, we're doing white. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we already got the yellow. We got the red. So
we got white now. And it just kind of made me wonder if the color of the fist depends on the character of the person.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like lightsabers. It's that's more like, yeah, yeah, well, it looks cool. I did this on Marvel TV Weekly as well, but I always need to point out for those that are watching on YouTube, Zia, please hold up your arm because you can one day also be the Iron Fist. Yes. You're already ready.
I was looking at that. I'm like, is that?
No, she just got it after watching the show. And for those that are wondering, she does indeed have a tattoo on her arm. All right, so it's a lot to process. But Danny, sort of your thoughts as to the way all of this unfolds, sort of everything closes in on Davos. It seems like it's going full steam ahead. Colleen's going to be the Iron Fist. Uh-oh.
Right.
He woke up. So tell us what you were thinking as you were watching.
I was just waiting for him to wake up the whole time. I was just watching his eyes. I'm like, no way this is going to go all the way through. But then when I saw her with the fist, another whoa moment. And like you, I kind of thought like, okay, it's white. Maybe it's because of the purity of her soul and you know how she is, her character. And I'm excited to see what happens and how Davos is going to get out of that one.
Yeah, which is something we will talk about in our next episode.
Yes,
so we'll backtrack to some of the other things that happened in here. I like that we had an appearance from Turk. And Ward buys some guns from him.
Yeah,
and I love him.
There's a
down by the river.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to mention. There's a great reference to the Chris Farley Matt Foley sketch, and he says to Joy in her van down by the river, and she's just like, "Oh, my brother's such an idiot.
I love that.
Such an idiot." But I always like when we see Turk, you know, and it seems like the sort of thing he'd be doing, be working on his short game while selling guns out of a van down
by the
river.
What I love, too, is that you always know he's coming because everyone always says, I know a guy. And you're like, I know who that's going to be.
There's only one guy.
There's only one guy.
Nobody knows
Everybody
any other
knows
guy.
Him.
Yeah, that's the only guy.
It's so great.
So this also, this explanation comes from the website Den of Geek, but there was a story told in the comic Immortal Iron Fist number 7, and that mysterious box, which is actually a really big deal. So the story, the Pirate Queen of Pinghai Bay was Wow Ao Shi, which I'm probably not pronouncing right, but that's the first woman to ever hold the mantle of the Iron Fist. So it's a real story, and the story that Colleen's mother's telling is about a woman who was the Iron Fist. Now, you have to wonder, was Colleen's mother the Iron Fist at one point? And we talked about some of the difference between the comic books and the TV series. In the comics, Danny Rand is the 66th person to hold the Iron Fist, so there's a lot of others. Perhaps we're going to talk about another one in our next episode when we talk about episode 10. But so that story is very important, and we'll talk a little bit more about it next week as well. I wanted to make sure that we at least spent a minute acknowledging that there's a pretty good story there. What's everybody saying in the chat before we go? I wanted to make sure to include everyone.
We've got Roy Fansler. It's kind of nice. Turk is in most of the Netflix movies. Agree. Yeah. Ghost 8386. My favorite reference this season. I believe he's talking about Down by the River.
Yes.
I think you
have to.
Christian Jackson also said love that reference.
Yeah.
Ghost 8386 says everybody gets an Iron Fist.
I saw somebody write that they did the Oprah thing. You get an Iron Fist. Everybody gets an Iron Fist. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I love this one too. Ghost 8386. Basically, Davos' version of Bye Felicia when he throws Joy off the balcony.
That's exactly how he handles these things.
Yes.
So we're not going to talk about episode 10, but we will talk about it Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific. That's midnight Eastern, so stay up late. But as you were watching this, did you immediately watch the next episode? Because I did. But, yeah.
Of course.
And that turned it into, like, I'm going to go to bed at midnight to, oh, no, I'm staying up until 1 in the morning. I don't know. And I talked about how it was very hard for me to not watch it all that first weekend. Because of this show, I was like, oh, I'll just watch 4. And then I was like, right. I got to, especially once it really gets going. Yeah. You're like, no, I need to see all of this.
Exactly.
But anybody in the chat who stopped after this episode, please let us know what was so important that, you know, you couldn't keep going.
Sleep is not a good answer.
Right.
We only have 2 minutes, but just an overall feeling before we head into the last episode. I mean, what really stood out for you? Because obviously when we talk about the last episode, there's some very defining moments that we're going to really focus on. But up until this point, is it that moment when Colleen has the Iron Fist? Just pick one thing that you think about from these first nine episodes. Danny, I'll ask you first. Something that just really stood out.
Wow. All those brutal deaths. That was
it. Yeah, they're pretty brutal. No, you're right.
There were a lot. I mean, am I watching The Purge or what? And I think definitely just the Colleen having the fist. I think that was a moment for me that really just I didn't see coming at all.
Well, I didn't think it was actually going to happen. Even right. When she's like, oh, I'm going to take it.
I didn't think so either.
I figure even in that moment, and also we'll talk more about this in the next episode, I figured that in the next episode, Danny was going to have to get involved and be like, right. Oh, no, it's going back to Davos. All right, I guess I'm getting – I always figured he was going to have it. I first figured, oh, Colleen's not going to get mm-hmm. it. As soon as she said she wanted it, I'm like, oh, she's not going to get it.
No.
Yeah, Danny's going to have to take it for some reason.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so was that a defining moment for you, or is there something that that really stood out for the course of these first nine episodes of season two?
Well, it's funny. Right before you said it, I literally thought the brutal murders.
And they are brutal, yeah.
Yeah. Another big one was Ward getting someone knocked up.
Yeah.
That's just more character development.
Because if anybody'd be a good dad, anybody who has, you know, good parental right. instincts, learned from a great
learned
dad himself,
great, yes.
it would be Ward. all right. Well, thanks to everybody in the chat and everybody just watching in general. If you're watching the archive version, please leave a comment and we will include it in our next show, which, as I mentioned, will be Sunday at 9 Pacific. Until then, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Zia, where do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well at Zia_Land. It's spelled XIA_Land.
And Danny.
You can find me everywhere at I am Danny Royce.
And that's IAM, not
yes,
I am like Instant Messenger. Yes. All right. He is Danny Royce. I am Christian Blatt. She is Zia Anderson. And Tony_ in the booth. For all of us, we will see you Sunday night to talk about the WTF finale.
We'll all be here.
We'll be, yeah. Emmanuel will be here too. So we'll see you
Yay.
Then. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. TV.